Star Wars 7x7, episode 696. Today, it's a new Star Wars Rebels briefing. We are talking about Spark of Rebellion, which was the hour-long, at least with commercials, the hour-long premiere of Star Wars Rebels on Disney and Disney XD and eventually ABC with a special extra bit with Darth Vader in it. Punch it, Chewie.
Feel a disturbance in the Force? It's Star Wars 7x7, your daily 7-minute podcast with your host, Alan Voivod. Destiny Unleashed.
Hey, Rebel Rouser. Welcome to Star Wars 7x7. I'm your host, Alan Voivod, and here is, in brief, the deal with Spark of Rebellion. So, a Star Destroyer shows up over the planet Lothal, or Lothal, depending on who you're listening to pronounce it, because there are a couple of different pronunciations on the show. And Ezra Bridger, who is referred to as a Loth Rat and a Street Rat separately in the show, which, of course, immediately invites comparisons to Aladdin. I mean, I watched it, and almost immediately in my head, I could hear "just a little snack, guys," and all the guards going, "rip him open, take it back, guys." I mean, it just exploded in my head. So he goes into the city and sees what's going on and happens to divert some stormtroopers over to a shipment of crates, a mysterious shipment of crates being hooked onto speeder bikes, which the crew of the Ghost then suddenly attacks and tries to steal. And of course, Ezra jumps in on it, being a street rat and thief on his own, steals one of the two speeder bikes, and thus the chase ensues. And we get a lot of references to the original trilogy in this one, very subtle compared to one of the references that we saw previously in that initial, the Machine Inside the Ghost, that initial short that we talked about in last week's briefing, where there were scenes that were taken straight out of A New Hope. This time, it's a little more subtle. For example, when they are on speeder bikes chasing out of the city, and they pass by two other stormtroopers on speeder bikes, and the two speeder bike troopers give chase, very much like Return of the Jedi. You remember that scene where they go blazing by, and they're two speed trap scout troopers waiting, and they take off, and those are the two that Luke has to take on. Long story short, the crew of the Ghost catches this kid Ezra, takes the carton of blasters back, and he does an amazing jump up to the Ghost while it is floating in midair and throws the crate of what turns out to be blasters up there too, something that only a Jedi or somebody with Force ability could do, which catches Kanan Jarrus, the cowboy Jedi, off guard and by surprise. And while the Ghost is flying around trying to avoid TIE fighters that are coming at him, you see scenes of them flying through the clouds that definitely evoke Cloud City and the Millennium Falcon flying around from the end of The Empire Strikes Back. So they get away and they get back to Lothal, actually. They circle back around to a place called Tarkintown, which is a refugee camp for farmers from Lothal, and they deliver the blasters there as well as connect with a guy named Visago, who is a local crime lord, who gave them the job and pays them but holds off payment in exchange for information about something the Ghost crew has been interested in for a while, and that is information on Wookiees being sent off for slavery duty. Meanwhile, we get a representation of the Imperial Security Bureau, which is a most feared Imperial intelligence organization. This arrives in the form of an agent Kallus after the stealing of the blasters, and he says he thinks that there's been a pattern that he can identify as far as the Ghost's activities and what the crew is up to. And it turns out the information the Ghost crew is given by Visago is false. In fact, it is a trap that's been set by Kallus, and the Ghost crew, once they spring the trap and then escape from the trap, figure that Visago must not have known because they're a source of revenue for Visago, so they think Kallus somehow fooled Visago or got false information out there that the Ghost crew happened to get. And the motivation for them going to rescue the Wookiees is interesting, too. Obviously, they've said it's something that they've been after for a while, and the Lasat character, that's Zeb Aurelius, says that he owes the big hairy beasts because they helped his people, and Hera, who is also the child of Cham Syndulla, one of the big rebellion leaders on the planet Ryloth, and who's been a recurring character in both Star Wars The Clone Wars and also appeared in Lords of the Sith, the novel that came out last year, Hera also says that the Wookiees have helped the Twi'leks in the past, too. Now, that was something I don't think I had been aware of, Wookiee involvement with either of those two species. So I'll be very curious to find out more about how the Wookiees have helped their two particular planets. But in the midst of the trap springing, Ezra gets left behind, and then they decide to go back for him. And in the midst of all this, Ezra hears information about where the Wookiees are really being sent and where they are. And it turns out they're being sent to the spice mines of Kessel, which we have never seen represented before, at least not in canon, or at least not in new canon. And so we actually get visual of the spice mines of Kessel on a landing platform where the Wookiees are being taken, where the crew of the Ghost then arrives to free the Wookiees and spirit them away. Of course, Agent Kallus figures out that Ezra has heard about the location of the Wookiees, and so he arrives with a squad of troops to take them out. And Kanan has to reveal himself as a Jedi in order to protect everyone. Blaster fire simply isn't enough. He has to bring out his lightsaber to start deflecting blaster bolts from the stormtroopers and Agent Kallus to help get everybody safely into a shipping container to do a 22 pickup, as they call it, which is basically getting all the Wookiees and the Ghost crew, with the exception of Kanan, into a shipping container and having the Ghost arrive and get it in a magnetic lock and then take off with it, which then, of course, everybody gets shaken around and Zeb says, "This is the part I don't like," or words to that effect. And meanwhile, Ezra has gone off to go after a child Wookiee and save him because the Wookiee has run off and a stormtrooper tracks him down. Ezra takes care of the stormtrooper, but Agent Kallus tracks him down, and naturally the Ghost, with Kanan standing on the outside of the ship, arrives just in time. Kanan deflects a blaster bolt from Agent Kallus right back into Kallus, and I guess he's wearing armor or something, because even though he gets knocked off the side, he manages to grip on and survive. And incidentally, I forgot to mention to you that there's a nice Wilhelm scream, a very obvious one, actually. Yeah, they're not usually that obvious, but this time it was when Ezra shot the stormtrooper with his little energy ball slingshot and the guy fell off the bridge. Yeah, total Wilhelm scream. And he manages to hang on as well, but unfortunately Agent Kallus decides to kick him off of there just because he doesn't like the guy saying, "Is this your first time spotting a Jedi?" or something like that. And yeah, Agent Kallus just kicks him off of there. Talk about brutal and ruthless. And in the midst of all of this, Kanan has figured out that Ezra is force sensitive and has been able to open a Jedi holocron that has a message from Obi-Wan Kenobi, a very famous one that we have heard in other places, talking about how it's not safe to go back to the temple anymore and to hang on, and eventually a new hope will arise. And I'm sure that phrase, "a new hope," was very, very specifically selected, naturally. I'm sure you can guess why. But Kanan eventually drops Ezra along with the Ghost crew. They drop Ezra back off on Lothal at his little home. And Kanan, of course, realizes he's been thieved again. This time his lightsaber has been taken away by Ezra, and he goes to say, "Hey, I can teach you the ways of the Force and what it means to be a Jedi. You can come back and give me back my lightsaber, or you can keep it and let it become just another dusty relic." And Ezra does the right thing, as you would expect, and joins up with the crew of the Ghost. And that is pretty much a rundown of the events of Spark of Rebellion, that very first pilot episode of Star Wars Rebels. Now, if you're not familiar with Rebels, and if you haven't watched the Clone Wars series also, I gotta tell you, the pace of Rebels is much more frenetic, at least in this first one by comparison. I don't know how the later episodes are gonna be, but we're gonna find out in the briefings, I guess. But that's a lot of information and a lot of action to cram in to an hour TV show, and to cram into the podcast as well and summarize as quickly as possible. And compared to the Clone Wars episodes that I've been watching so far, now granted, I'm going through season 2 at this point. That's where we are in the Clone Wars briefing. So that is probably a good, 5, 6, 7 years between them from actual broadcast dates. And the pace is also very frenetic, not in a bad way, compared to the Clone Wars episodes that I've been watching so far. And I'm wondering if that's partly because it's trying to be more original trilogy-like, because they've said they were heavily influenced by trying to get this to have a more original trilogy feel, or if it's just a matter of time passing and knowing that they need to get a little more action in to keep people interested and invested and engaged in it, or if it's just simply a matter of the fact that it was the season premiere, it was the series premiere, and so they needed to have it be a slam bang kind of situation. Either way, we're going to dig into it and we're going to start catching up on Rebels. I believe Droids in Distress is the next in the series, and I do know that C-3PO and R2-D2 show up in the show eventually, so maybe that's the one. I guess we'll see. Oh, and I don't want to forget to tell you the Darth Vader bit either, that epilogue that appeared on ABC, where James Earl Jones reprises his role as Darth Vader, which was awesome, and it was his first time back in the role since doing Revenge of the Sith in 2005. In the scene, Vader is talking to a character called the Grand Inquisitor, who is as yet a very mysterious character, at least at the very beginning of Star Wars Rebels. He is obviously, there's a lot more information known about him now because he's appeared in a full season of Rebels, but Agent Callus was reporting to the Grand Inquisitor at the end of the episode, and now in this special epilogue, the Grand Inquisitor is reporting to Vader. And Vader is telling the Inquisitor about a new threat the Emperor has sensed called the Children of the Force. Very intriguing, very intriguing. And Vader tells the Inquisitor that they must not be allowed to become Jedi, and that anyone who can't be converted over into the Sith ways needs to be destroyed. Of course, at the time, we all thought this was going to be just a publicity stunt for getting Rebels on the map with Star Wars fans and that Vader wouldn't be coming back. Oh, were we wrong about that? But again, all in due time, all in due time. Hey, Rebel Rouser. You're listening to this podcast. Maybe you'd like to listen to a Star Wars story, too. Luckily, we've got just the thing for you. We've partnered with Audible to give you a free download and a free 30-day trial of their awesome service. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/SW7X7 to sign up and get your free download. They've got dozens of Star Wars titles. Anything you want to do to explore that galaxy far, far away. One more time for you, audibletrial.com/SW7X7. All right, time for your trivia question.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Back on Saturday, we asked you what Chewbacca first did when he saw his friend Han Solo killed in The Force Awakens, and he roared angrily and shot Kylo Ren in the side. Today's question, how many people were seen in Kylo Ren's interrogation chairs in The Force Awakens? Thanks for listening to another episode of Star Wars 7x7. And hey, before you go blasting your way out of Mos Eisley, check out SW7X7.com for show notes, links, photos, videos, and more. And if you want to join the inner circle of fans, become a patron of the show at patreon.com/SW7X7. It's not an Imperial spy, it's Destiny Unleashed.
This podcast is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyright 2016 Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.